It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello, welcome to the Truepenny Show. He said, trying not to bleed the microphone too much. Just drifting away from it because he's using a terrible microphone stand. Hi. We've had a really bad day with technology. Please welcome Mr. Alex Watt, who's in my phone.
Hi, I am in your phone. Yeah, we battled technology. I've battled Northern Rail trains so we could do this podcast.
Yes, it's not been great. We're going to talk about New Japan New Beginnings, though, because that was great. It was an excellent show with lots of cool stuff that happened, and it was very good. What do you think of New Japan's products in 2019, Alex?
Oh, we're in an interesting place. Last time I was on was post-Wrestle Kingdom, where we were kind of trying to figure out what the landscape would be for the year going forward. This was very much it starting to take shape, kind of how we thought it would, particularly at the top of the card. Like you say, I think this was a really good show. Maybe a couple of down points, but we'll get onto that. But the matches at the top of the card were all amazing. You can see who the top guys are going to be, who they're setting up to be the top guys in 2019. And yeah, I guess we just have more. It gave us more of an idea of the direction they're going in between now and the G1.
Yeah, we seem to have got a good idea of where things are going to head, certainly. Right then, let's start with the opening match. The opening match was Tenkoji, Hiroshi Tenzan, and Satoshi Kojima with Jushin Thunder Liger. They took on the Suzuki-gun grouping of Minoru Suzuki, Taka Michinoku, and Takahashi Iizuka. Now, if you listen to me and Tony from last week's show, we know that Iizuka is retiring on the 21st of February. That's this week. That's the big show. He's going to be a big six-man match announced for New Japan Road. But this one was a lot of fun. 12 minutes and 56 seconds. Tenzan trying to appeal to Iizuka, the former best friends, trying to get them to ride one more last time. Not completely convinced it's working. Are you, Alex?
It will work, eventually. this was all about that story, basically. Like, the match itself was fine. You know, it wasn't special, if you like. It did its job. I don't think it's the best use of Minoru Suzuki at the moment. It feels like if there's one guy in 2019 who's being wasted a little bit, or doesn't seem to have a direction, it's him. Hopefully they figure that out. But yeah, like you say, the thing that made the match so memorable is this ongoing storyline. We're only a few days away from this retirement match, and they're teasing. This was the most they've teased him turning back to the good side. Obviously, Tenzan's trying to get Iizuka to snap out of it, basically, and return to the good side ahead of his retirement, which is it's classic kind of Gedo New Japan booking, and it's a lovely little idea for kind of long-term fans who've invested in the product for, you know, over a decade. It was, what, 11 years ago, something like that, when the turn happened. So for them to be kind of referencing it, for fans who've been with it, stayed with the product that long, is really cool, I think. You had Tenzan wearing the old team shirt to the ring and cutting the promo before the match saying, "We'll team again." The big moment was the finish where Iizuka kind of teased that he was going to turn babyface, and maybe Tenzan's words were starting to take effect. Stopped Suzuki hitting him with a chair, and then the crazy came back, and he still nailed Tenzan with the iron glove for the DQ. I'd imagine there's got to be a payoff this week, or it would be very cruel booking otherwise if he doesn't ultimately turn, because the fans want to see him go back to the good side and reunite with Tenzan so much. You know, credit to Tenzan Iizuka for getting the storyline over so much when, you know, without wanting to be mean to Iizuka, he's not one of the top guys in that company now. So for them to have made this storyline work so well at this point in their careers is a credit to both of them, I think.
Yeah, it's all pros giving maximum effort for one last push, which is all you can really ask for, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think, like I said, I love the storyline. The match itself wasn't amazing, but I think the storyline makes it really memorable, and hopefully we see the payoff this week in a lovely reunited team at the end of the show.
I don't think that's going to happen, but we'll see.
You don't think it's going to happen at all?
No, I think this is a pressure booking of the highest order, because it always is with Suzuki Gun.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry to crush your hopes and dreams, obviously, but it's what Suzuki Gun do best.
Hey, the fans will be crushed if he doesn't. Maybe they'll reunite and then he'll just turn on him again after they've reunited. That would be the way to have your cake and eat it too, I suppose.
Definitely, I would think so. Right then, next matchup was Los Ignorables de Japón, the IWGP World Tag Team Champions. That would be Sanada and Your Evil. They defeated Ayota Yoshida and Shota Unumino. 10 minutes and 8 seconds of an outstanding match. They told a really interesting story because the Young Boys owned the World Tag Team Champions for about 8 minutes of this match, and the veterans were showing off a bit, and they got caught out. Made them look vulnerable without losing too much face. What did you think of this, Alex?
Well, should we start by talking about how impressive the Young Lions were in defeat?
Oh, yeah.
Or should we talk about the state of Sanada's facial hair?
Well, me and Tony did give the facial hair update, and we talked about wrestling first. So let's talk about wrestling first, then we'll give the facial hair update.
Okay. Yoshida and Umino are great. The fans love them. They've been booked again in this classic New Japan fashion, how Gedo likes to do it. They went winless in the tag league in December, and then obviously put in some cracking performances along the way, and then they've been coming closer and closer to beating the veterans a few times, and they finally got that big win over Tsuji and Tenzan to earn the title shot, and yeah, they did a great job with it. Like you say, they probably told the story in a different way than we may have expected. I think they got more than I maybe thought they would. I thought maybe Evil and Sanada would just completely dominate them, and obviously there was that feel down the stretch, but the fact that they kind of, you know, exploited the cockiness and got a lot in early on was really nice. You know, they obviously showed loads of fire in defeat, as you would expect. It basically did exactly what you would want from a match like this, where they came out of it looking good in defeat, looking like, you know, future stars, but ultimately got beaten up at the end because they were facing the veterans and the best team in the company. So I think they basically ticked every box you wanted from a match like this.
Yeah, really. It was just good. It was just really, really good. And Shota and, you know, like you said, Shota and forgot his name now. Yoshida have been doing pretty good stuff in their, like, Young Lions kind of way. Nothing they've done has been horrible. It's been well put together. It's been well organized. It's just good wrestling, I think.
Yeah, and I think they've been able to show their personality, particularly Shota, who is just a great, great babyface that I think you sort of think, how good can they be when they go on an excursion and come back and all that kind of stuff, the characters they'll probably come up with down the line, because you can see real, real potential in both of them. As there's always great guys who come out of the dojo, but I think you can really see how good they could potentially be, and that, you know, they're good now.
Right then, we move on to the next match, which is a 6-man tag, Los Ignorables de Japón.
Oh, we're just skipping over Sanada's facial hair. You're so angry about it. You don't even want to.
Let's go. No. Let's go to the facial hair. I'm sorry, I've got one screen behind me, one screen in front of me. I'm trying to sound engineer and read results at the same time, and I missed something. Okay. Very important.
We'll let you off. This is the biggest news from the show.
Go on then.
I've been a big defender of Sanada's grooming habits on this show, but even I can't back the big man on this one. The yellow hair and the yellow beard. Was it Sai who said on Twitter that he looks like Snagglepuss?
No. Yeah, it was. And Tony described him as... I described him last week as the full Amish.
Yes, it's... Yeah. I mean, we were kind of joking about it on the Wrestle Kingdom show that maybe he's trying to get the same hair on either side of his head. But it actually does look like that might be what he's attempting to do at the moment.
Yeah, it's very strange, and we don't approve.
No, we really don't. It's a strange one for a guy who is clearly one of the most attractive guys in the company. Seems to be doing all he can to not look like that.
And to be fair, one of the most stylish guys in the company as well.
Yeah, it's like he's. It's like he's having a breakdown, but there's no kind of storyline around it. Like, if Okada had done this, it would have made a lot more sense with what he was doing.
Well, what can we say, really? I can give you an update on people with fantastic hair.
Oh, go on.
Cassandra Miyagi has signed with Stardom.
Oh, very nice.
She's now Andrea Miyagi. She still has the spike. And she's a member of Odeo Tai, so it sounds like Kagetsu's mission to Sendai Girls was to scout Cassandra and bring her to Odeo Tai.
Mm.
That's interesting, deep kind of storytelling I expect from a Sendai Girl. So, yes.
Absolutely.
Excellent news for the former Cassandra. But yeah, it's just horrible. Cut it off. Cut it off. The hair. His hair.
Have a shave, for God's sake.
That's the one. Sorry, coughing as well. Alright then. Now we shall move on to the six-man tag, which was Lizignable, Dehepon, Bushi, Shingo Takagi. That'll be your IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions. Along with Tetsuya Naito, the IWGP Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion. They defeated Suzuki Gun, Desperado, Yoshinobu Kanemura, and Tai Chi in 11 minutes and 2 seconds. It was all right. This is the best two six-man tag units in the company. It was brilliant. It was really, really good. And Tai Chi.
Tai Chi was also there.
Yes, Tai Chi was present in the room.
Tai Chi has now headlined the show in a title match. So that's a thing that happened in 2019.
If you listened to me and Tony last week, you could tell the disappointment in my voice.
Tell the disappointment in your voice right now.
It's the same tone I use when year three annoys you whilst I'm trying to explain things.
You're not angry, you're just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed that this is the kind of thing that it's come to.
Poor Naito.
Yeah, but this match was alright.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, the match itself was, six-man, New Japan, six-man, what you would expect, solid. Everyone played their roles really well. I think the issue we spoke there about the Naito Tai Chi match headline won the previous show. I think the sort of downside the New Beginning shows is they do suffer from repetition a little bit and the talent being spread a little too thin over the three nights. I get why they do it. It brings in more money for the company. They can sell out three shows in a row instead of one or two. But, you know, obviously from a quality standpoint, from a selfish standpoint, really, I would rather see one big night or two big nights at the most where, you know, something like Naito and Tai Chi headlining is... To say it nicely, it's too much pressure to put on a guy like Tai Chi, I think.
Yeah.
When that could have easily been the co-main underneath Jay White and Tanahashi, which probably would have been a more effective role for it. But yeah, it ended up here where you had the situation that all these guys were then in this six-man match after having the title matches, which is... just feels a bit strange, you know.
Yeah.
They obviously tried to continue the story, but really, this is the kind of match you want on a Road 2 show to set up all the title matches. It's a strange feeling for it to then follow on when that story's kind of been told. I get that the ongoing feud is Loz and Grabner. Loz, I'm not going to try it. L-I-J. It's been how many years now and I still can't pronounce it? But yeah. But the ongoing feud and the ongoing story is L.I.J. and Suzuki Gun, and they tried their best to keep it going. It just felt a bit like it wasn't maybe the best placement for the match and stuff like that. But it was a solid six, man.
Yeah, definitely. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this one. But yeah, like you said, I think as well, you've seen a lot of Suzuki Gun versus L.I.J. on this show, on this series. Yeah. We had the single matches last week and the heavyweight tag team title match last week. And this was kind of the Chaos and Bullet Club and Regular Army and GBH night, which has a lot of stuff going on with it. So it kind of overkilled a lot of things.
Yeah, and it did just feel kind of just there in a way, because it had to be, which, yeah, is a bit of a shame. Like you say, it had to take a back seat to the other stuff going on, whereas if it was on, you know, a big show with all the title matches, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Okay, then we move on to the next tag match, because this now kind of set up the tag division, really. Kind of give you a place where people are in the tag division, and we had some regular teams teaming together against regular teams and some not-so-regular teams. This was a not-regular team versus a regular team. Chase Owens and Yujiro Takahashi, your Tokyo Pimps there. They defeated Tomoyuki Honma and Yoshihashi in 9 minutes and 38 seconds. A thoroughly enjoyable matchup, and Chase Owens seems to have taken over kind of the role Cody Rhodes had in Bullet Club, which I find hilarious. And
does that
also
mean he's gonna attack the leader at some point.
But they're also, like, you know, they're essentially the replacement for the Young Bucks.
Yeah, which is a weird sentence, but yeah, it is correct.
And they're that good. They can do that. I think Yujiro's picked his game up, to be honest with you. He looked better in this than he's looked in about 3 years.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Owens and Takahashi looked really good, but I bring the mood down. This wasn't good, I didn't think. Sorry. I think, like, Owens and Takahashi I'm really enjoying. They played their roles really well, but Honma and Yoshihashi were not good,
no.
Unfortunately. And I'm kind of loath to have too much of a go at them, because they're, you know,
walking wounded.
Yeah, exactly. They're both coming back from injuries. Honma especially had that horrible battle with paralysis, essentially, you know, and has had this long layoff, but he looked like he'd had a long layoff, and the worry is that he just didn't look anywhere near, you know, on his game. And yeah, it's kind of sad if he can't get back to where he was. And you've got to question why put him in a tag match like this when you could have put him in a six man or a 10 man, which could have disguised that a bit better. Yoshihashi as well didn't look great, but again, is coming back from injury. You'd imagine he will shake off that ring rust and get back to where he was. But yeah, it just meant that them as a team were a little bit of a mess and couldn't kind of deliver the opposition that Owens and Takahashi probably needed. So it's put a bit of a down on that.
Oh no, I mean, in my head, I'm trying to think of what Christie did with this matchup, because it's got Honma in, so she won't watch it. But
right,
it's got Yoshihashi in. So I'm thinking.
I mean, there's issues anyway around Honma.
Yes.
Yeah, all the personal life stuff that's never really been resolved, unfortunately. So
no.
Yeah, it's a strange feeling all round watching Honma in these matches, and if he's not on top of his game, it's why have him there in kind of a featured spot, which again sounds harsh to say,
you're using this night to get guys over in a tag team division, so
yeah. And the thing is, like you said, Owens and Takahashi are making a really good team at the moment. They've obviously got big plans for them, so they need opponents who are gonna make them look like stars and push them up the card. And yeah, you know, Owens looked really good and got the pin, which was the important thing. But yeah, it's probably not the best use of them. So hopefully, you know, on the next show,
yeah,
they get some better opposition. Because yeah, I really enjoyed the Owens Takahashi thing, like you are.
Yeah, I mean, Chase and Yujiro are actually undefeated on this tour. And
so they're planning ahead. They've obviously got big ideas for them. Like you say, they've kind of stepped into the Young Book spot, and
yeah,
you can see where they want to take them.
And also, like, Chase just signed a big contract for a long period of time. So
yes, which is a big deal at the moment with everything else that's going on. So
yes, yeah,
yeah, he is going to get a big push because of that, because he's actually sticking around.
Yeah, I'd also point out, Chase is a man who does not waste his opportunities. He was a fill-in for somebody at Best of Super Juniors 4 years ago, been around ever since.
Yes, and like you say, grabbed the... To use the Vince McMahon term, he grabbed the brass ring, didn't
yes.
he?
For dear really life, did. And he's not letting go.
Yeah. I suppose we should say that, speaking of guys who are going to get pushed and stuff, it was after this match that Kota Ibushi returned, wasn't it? And announced that he wasn't leaving New Japan and he'd be in the New Japan Cup,
yep.
Which is obviously also big news if they've managed to tie him down to a contract.
Is he going to come back and actually be a member of Bullet Club, though? That'd be interesting, because they kicked the Elite out and he's got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Would they take him back? Or is that too many cooks spoiling the broth at the top of the card for Bullet Club?
Yeah, I'm intrigued to see where they go with him. I think he's probably the favourite to win the New Japan Cup now. But whether he will is a different thing because of the way Gedo likes to book these things. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see, does he strike out on his own? Does he form something with Tanahashi and those guys potentially? Because they've obviously teased that story a few times. There's a few places they can go. The other thing is whether they managed to work out anything with AEW and Omega potentially being able to do New Japan still. That's still kind of up in the air at the moment.
The rumour is it's kind of inevitable it will happen, but I'm not convinced how inevitable it is to start with.
Yeah, it might take a while, which...
Yeah, I mean, AEW have just also signed a deal with AAA,
yes.
Which kind of complicates things, because CMLL is New Japan's partner, obviously the devout enemies of AAA in Mexico, so that makes things more difficult. But we shall see.
I think Jericho's sort of spoken about he's planning to do stuff with both companies, so if they can do stuff with Jericho, I can't see why they wouldn't be able to figure something out with Omega, even if it's just on a freelance basis, you know?
Yeah. Alright then, we move on to the next matchup, which was the Gorillas of Destiny, former 4-time IWGP Tag Team Champions Tama Tonga and Tangaloa. They defeated the most violent players, Togi Makabe and Toru Yano, in 9 minutes and 44 seconds of a thoroughly entertaining professional wrestling match. Good guy Tama Tonga is dead and gone.
Didn't last long, did it?
Not really, no.
Well, it's so funny that a team with Yano in is called Most Violent Players, when G.O.D. were definitely extremely violent in this one.
They were, yes. Togi and Toru didn't really stand a chance, though Toru put up a spirited defence in the last 3 minutes.
Of course, classic Yano.
Yes.
Come back.
It was. I mean, it was kind of what you expected, what it does on the tin. Makabe hitting people really hard. G.O.D. doing their G.O.D. thing. It was just fun, and it kind of established G.O.D. back on the winning track, which is what they needed to do since they lost the titles at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, it achieved everything it needed to. G.O.D. attacking Yano and Makabe during their entrance, which is very on-brand. It's like you say, like you said, the good guy Tama Tonga thing is very much dead. They're back to being the worst. But in a good way, not in a Tai Chi way.
Sorry.
But yeah, obviously the idea here was to make them look like horrible heels. It did that. They had to look very dominant, which they did. You had the spirited comeback from, like you say, Makabe fighting back, and then you had a couple of Yano antics thrown in to to please the crowd, because you've got to throw them in as well. But other than those few moments, it was very much GOD dominance. They are going to be the top challengers for Evils and Sanada. They are going to challenge. This was a number one contenders match, wasn't it?
I think so, but I think the obvious thing wouldn't actually to be send GOD after them straight away. I think the obvious thing is to send Chase and Yuja after them straight away.
Potentially, but yeah. I think...
Because you're going to want Tanga... You're going to want Tama Tonga in New Japan Cup, surely.
It's a fair point, but I suppose it depends what their plans are in terms of title defences on shows between now and the New Japan Cup.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have to defend the tag titles at New Japan Cup. You could wait till... what's the next one after that? Whatever Invasion attack is now.
Yeah, the Invasion... So, to be fair, the plan might just be for them to challenge at Invasion attack, because that's the next big
title-defending
show, if you like. So, I get it. If that's the plan, that they're challenging for the belts, then it makes sense, because it's a big show. They need ready-made challenges, whereas I think they'll probably want to build Owens and Takahashi a little bit longer to get them to being kind of it being believable that they could win the belts off LIJ, whereas GOD, you know, they're ready-made. They've been the champs already. They lost the belts to LIJ, so you've got the ready-made storyline there and everything else.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that, but I'm kind of pinning Mike. I kind of want Chase and Yujiro to get a short run with the tag titles. I think Chase deserves it. I think Chase deserves a title, and I think Yujiro does as well, because he's done everything else. He deserves a heavyweight run. Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. I think that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on, for sure.
Yujiro's not the best wrestler in the world, let's be honest, but he does what he does really, really well, and he knows exactly what he's supposed to do at the right time.
Well, it's the best... For a guy like Yujiro, who's very good at character work but less stellar in the ring, a tag team like this is kind of the perfect way to use him, because in singles, you've seen in G1s and stuff, he kind of gets exposed, whereas here you can, you know, hide those shortcomings a little bit, and it works really well, the dynamic between them.
People are going to like murder me for this, but essentially it's the Midnight Express. Because Chase is Bobby Eaton. Chase is Bobby Eaton. Yujiro is Stan Lane.
Never thought I would hear that comparison.
There you go. It's the new Midnight Express.
I can see the thinking, though.
Yes. I'm sure Jim Cornette will block me on Twitter for that one. Right.
He'd block you on Twitter for a lot less, probably, knowing Jim Cornette.
Well, Mike Freeland's blocked by Jim Cornette on Twitter. So
amazing. It's like a badge of honour, I think.
Yes. Anywho, where are we? IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. First defence of Taiji Ishimori against Yoraisuke Taguchi. That was pretty damn good. Cage match uses good at 7.29. Ugh, Meltzer, 3¾ stars. I thought it was better than that myself. I thought it was a lot of fun. Two character based wrestlers actually doing something different with the New Japan Junior Heavyweight Championship. It didn't feel like the Kushida era. It felt like something different and someone's taking a step forward. But we still feel like we're spinning our wheels till Takahashi gets back. What are your thoughts, Alex?
Yeah, I thought this was really, really good. Taguchi with one of his several big match performances of the year. We know how great he is when he's put in a spot like this, and this was no exception. We got a little bit of his antics early on. You know, him and Ishimori dancing early on. And Ishimori has some great dance moves, it has to be said.
He does, yes.
Yeah, for the most part, though, it was serious Taguchi, which he never disappoints in these big matches, Taguchi. And it's kind of what we expected it would be. Ishimori's absolute class. Like you say, he's a great character, but he's a great worker as well. And it was a nice combination of those things thrown into the match, and where the division is going with Ishimori as the top guy now. They had a really good match, really good chemistry. I liked Taguchi was doing his antics early on to kind of play mind games, but it just didn't work. I like that Ishimori is so focused and kind of crazy that it just didn't have any. It just didn't have any effect. So it meant that Taguchi had to start cracking out all his wrestling tricks, and he kept, you know, going for the ankle lock a lot, which they teased Ishimori maybe getting beaten with that really well. There were a few near falls that, you know, they succeeded in making the crowd believe that Taguchi could win, which is always the challenge with these kind of defenses, because I think everyone knew Ishimori was retaining here, so they managed to make the crowd bite on a couple of near falls, particularly when Taguchi hit the Dodon. The crowd really bought that could be the finish, which was really good.
I was going to say, it comes really from the Road 2 tour, where Taguchi and the most violent players beat Bullet Club for the Never Open Weight Six-Man Championships, and because it was Taguchi beating Ishimori, which they didn't think would happen, and he beat him clean in the middle of the ring by submission, that's what puts the pressure on. That's why you use those Six-Man Championships in this way.
Yes, exactly. Though they are, New Japan are so good at setting that stuff up, and then, yeah, like when he hits the same move later on, in the singles match, the crowd will fully believe that that could be the win. Or like you say with the ankle lock, the fact that they kept going back to it in this match, the fans really believe that that could get the win. So yeah, again, sensible thinking ahead type booking from New Japan, which is something they do really well, and we know they do. This was just really good, and big match Taguchi, like I say, never disappoints as much as his ass antics annoy me sometimes. When he's got the big match game face on, he tends to have great matches. And Ishimori, yeah, this is a great first title defense for him, and he's clearly going to be the top guy now, and they've positioned him as that. You know, he called out Jushin Thunder Liger as his next challenger after the match.
Yeah.
They're clearly going to go through, which again, classic Gedo booking, put him against all
the legends.
Kind of top. Yeah, put him against the legends, the top guys, the guys who've been there and done it. This has obviously kind of got that great story of this new innovator against the original innovator, which I'm sure they'll play on a lot. And it feels already like this will be a lengthy reign for Ishimori. So he's going to face all these guys and beat them, you would imagine. And that's going to solidify him as the top guy. Because Kushida's left, so they need a new top guy. Takahashi's on the shelf, as we say. And they are obviously waiting for Takahashi to come back. And the big feud is Ishimori and Takahashi when that happens.
Latest update on Hiromu Takahashi is he's at 965% ready. He had a new video on Twitter yesterday to say how ready he is.
Which is only, 200% below where he needs to be now.
We'll see how it goes.
In seriousness, it looks like he is getting closer and closer to him back, which is, that's the plan. We know that's the plan, that him, he and Ishimori are the ones they want to carry this division now into the future, with Kushida going. They're going to be the top two guys. So, yeah, be interesting to see when Takahashi is able to come back.
Interesting call from Don Callis on commentary during this match, where he said, where Kevin Kelly was listing his achievements, and he quickly slipped in, and he was Impact X Division champion as well.
Yeah, good try.
Because like, obviously Kelly only ever like reads out the stuff he knows from Rev Pro, he knows from Ring of Honor, and probably nothing else. Some WWE stuff. And Kelly's going, hang on a minute here, you got me on the job.
At least Ishimori won a title there.
True. Perhaps the only guy on the New Japan roster who spent time in Impact Wrestling and actually won something.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't really do that with Okada or Sanada or any of those guys.
Like, any of these greatest.
If you mention their Impact runs, it looks a bit silly, really.
To be fair to Sanada, he was a two-time X Division champion as well.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how unmemorable it
was.
I can't
remember who he beat. I can't remember who he beat for the championship, but it was in his annoyingly babyface run. Like, the most earnest. Made Ricky Steamboat look like classy Freddie Blassie run. but yeah, Yeah, it was great, this match. Really enjoyed it. And like I said, kind of looking forward to Hiromu coming back to kind of give this some more zing. But they've got some classy junior heavyweights in that division now. It looks a lot more like the junior division did 10 years ago, because we were kind of getting a bit... It's all a bit Kushida-ish, wasn't it, for a long while. But now it's working well. It's doing a good job, I think.
It's probably... I can't remember if we said this on the Wrestle Kingdom show or not, when the news broke that Kushida was going to leave. It might help the division in a way, because they had that really good run when, you know, Ospreay was there, Skrull was there, and Takahashi was there, and Kushida. Those four in different partnerships, if you like, worked really well, but they would always sort of fall back on Kushida when, you know, you had issues like they want, you know, Ospreay wanted to go up, Takahashi got injured, so they just put the belt back on Kushida because it's the easy thing. Now they have to think around that more, you know, and that's why they're building, I think, Ishimori as being the top guy, and then they can bring in, hopefully, lots of new challenges, and that should help them build the division even more.
It'll be interesting to see if Marty Skrull is actually exclusive to Ring of Honor this year, or if he's going to do some visits over to Japan. I guess he'll be there for Best of Super Juniors.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I mean, how long is he contracted to Ring of Honor as well is the other question, because as soon as that's up, you would imagine he'll show up in AEW.
Not necessarily. So, I mean, you got to think of a guy like Marty, who's been a pro for like 15 years, and he's had one major injury that put him on the shelf for 18 months. A guaranteed contract is the living the dream, and he has a guaranteed contract with Ring of Honor, and they've just cleared out a bunch of deadwood.
That's true, and he's got his new stable and everything else. He's going to be one of the top guys there. So
plus his best mate is working for them now as well, in Nick Aldis. So,
oh yeah, of course.
What else does he really need? I mean, AEW's nice and all that, and resetting the wrestling world and okay, but he's getting his mortgage paid.
That's a fair point.
You know, and for a guy, from my point of view, for a guy who nearly ended his career in a heap on the floor of Wembley Arena, that's a big thing. And I can see him wanting to, not to disrespect the AEW guys, because I think they're going to do some amazing stuff, but I think for him, Ring of Honor is the safe bet, and he has a good relationship with Ring of Honor, and he's going to be a top guy there because all the other guys on top have just left.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I think if that is his plan, I hope he does keep doing the New Japan stuff, because yeah, there's a lot of fun stuff you could tell, you know, now with the Elite being gone, you'd imagine he wouldn't be in Bullet Club anymore. So there's that ready-made feud there with Ishimori if he came back for Dominion, say. You know, that's
Even if he's working on Arising, you know, he can make a statement on Arising, can't he?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, you've got me thinking now.
Yeah, there you go. That's the next big tour aside from New Japan Cup, by the way, for your Gaijin will be on Arising. They usually do a week at Corken Hall. They bring in 4 or 5 guys from Ring of Honor. Had some really cracking matches last year as well. It's a bit different. They book it a bit different because Hunter, who's the booker for Ring of Honor, is in charge of that. Obviously not Ghetto. So, yeah, it's a bit different. Anyway, we'll move on to Kazuchika Okada and Bad Luck Fale, which was a special singles match, the semi-main event of this show, which was thoroughly entertaining. Me and Tony last week were pointing out how whatever Bad Luck Fale is asked to do, he does with aplomb. He's a professional wrestler of the highest order, and this was just exactly what was needed. What do you think of this, Alex?
It's also him and Okada always have really good matches together. We've spoken about it before. We spoke about it with... it was last year, same time, wasn't it, when he challenged for the title when Okada was champ? Yeah, they... Basically, Okada knows how to work to Farley's strengths, I think, and make him look like a monster. And it gives Okada the chance to work from the bottom, be the underdog. And I think it's that dynamic between them always works really well. And this was another really good match between the two. The only criticism would be that it does seem like a bit of a go-to for Gedo early in the year. You know, it happened last year. It's happened a few times where sort of around February, it's like, let's do Okada and Fale, because Okada needs, particularly now, he needs someone who can help him with the storyline. So, I get it, because it's the perfect guy to do it. Okada's on, still on this redemption arc and trying to recapture the old Okada. You know, putting him against a big guy who's going to beat the crap out of him works really well, because he can, you know, be the underdog in that match, and he has to fire that babyface fire again to win. So you saw it when they were trading blows, and Farley would hit him with one, and Okada would have to hit him with sort of three or four to have the same effect. That was a nice little thing in the story. The ref bump was probably unnecessary, but I get why.
Yeah.
I get why they needed the run in, because of what Farley and G.O.D. and all those guys are doing at the moment, and you know, gave Okada more odds to overcome. So I got the thinking. And he did overcome the odds in the end. It took him a few Rainmakers to do it, and Farley lost nothing in defeat. Yeah, it just, like I say, there's always a great dynamic between them, and it moved the Okada redemption story on a little bit. Yeah, which is still not sure how long they're going to make this a thing and when he can fully be the top Okada again. It's interesting.
I think they made a major step forward with the main event of this particular show, and it was nothing to do with Okada.
They did.
So, the main event of this particular evening was Jay White defeating Hiroshi Tanahashi for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship in 30 minutes and 28 seconds of an outstandingly good professional wrestling match. This was brilliant. Jay White at his absolute best. Hiroshi Tanahashi selling the fact he's not as fast as he used to be. He can't really cut the mustard the way he wants to. And though he was good enough to beat Kenny Omega, Kenny Omega took enough out of Hiroshi Tanahashi to make Jay White easy pickings for Jay White. So this was really astounding, but it echoes the story of Okada. 7 years ago, Okada comes back at Wrestle Kingdom. He challenges Tanahashi. Everyone thinks it's a pie-in-the-sky idea, and he beats Tanahashi at New Beginnings. And Jay White has done exactly the same thing. As Kevin Kelly quite rightly said, everything that Jay White said would happen has happened. And that's pretty much the same way they set up Finn Balor as Prince Devitt 5 years ago as the leader of Bullet Club. Everything he said would happen happened. So yeah, this is it, and we have the third leader of Bullet Club as IWGP Heavyweight Champion, and we did not have to wait long, did we, Alex?
No, this was, yeah, great storytelling, as you say, but yeah, another reminder that when New Japan want to create a top star, they do not mess around. Like you say, it worked with Okada, it also worked with AJ Styles, similar thing, came in, won the belt. And in both those cases, people thought, has Gato pulled the trigger too early? It ended up working. There's no reason why it won't work again here. Jay White, over the past years, we've touched on the podcast, has just got better and better in understanding what the character is, in being that good in the ring. He's always been good in the ring, but he's got to work at a certain level to be a main event star because of the kind of output that New Japan main events have done in the past. Yeah, I think it was different in the sense that probably going in, a lot of us maybe thought that Jay White would pull it off. I don't know what you think, but I kind of had that feeling that this was the way they were going. He'd already beaten Okada. It makes sense for him to beat Tanahashi too, and then he's a made man, basically.
I mean, the thing is with me, I kind of go back to a couple of years ago when Okada beat, not Tanahashi, at Wrestle Kingdom for the first time, retained the belt, and then went to face Suzuki, came back, and everybody was like, well, Suzuki's going to beat him at New Beginnings, and he didn't. And that was kind of, so I was always kind of wary of the New Beginnings championship change, because it happens often. Like we said, Hiroshi Tanahashi lost to AJ Styles at New Beginnings, and there have been a couple of other major title changes at that particular time in New Japan too. So for me, it was like, I'm always wary that they're going to go to the well too often, so I didn't think they would do it this time, but it was the perfect thing to do. They've built White up as this major threat to the championship, and he's beat everybody. He's beat Okada, he's beat Tanahashi, he's beat Kenny Omega. The only guy he's got, two guys he's got left, are Naito and Minoru Suzuki. And honestly, I can't wait to see Minoru Suzuki versus Jay White, can you?
No, that will be very fun with Wyatt in this guise as well, because he was, yeah, he was great in this match in terms of being the heel. I'm trying to basically outsmart Tanahashi at every opportunity he got. He was trying to outsmart him, but he also looked like a cold, calculating killer against, you know, one of the best baby faces ever. We always say, you know, Tana's selling of the leg and his comebacks were masterful, but Jay was so good at just relentlessly working over his leg and being this kind of smart heel and being an ass as well.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, like, stuff like, you know, he gets his character so much now. He's grown into that role so well, you know. There's a moment where Tanahashi went for the drop kick and he avoided it and just slapped him around the head.
Yeah. Which,
you know, really great character work, rather than just going to another move, which probably would have been the cool thing to do. It's like, no, I'm an arse. I'm just going to slap you in the head.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of, he was trying to take shortcuts to win, but in the end, he was the better guy. That was important. They had to, you know, he can be a heel and try and take shortcuts, but he has to beat the likes of Okada and Tanahashi legitimately, which he did with Okada, and he did here with, you know, countering the Sling Blade into the Blade Runner, which was brilliantly done for the finish. It worked for the shock aspect as well, because it was kind of out of nowhere. So I think it added to the feel of, you know, the crowd being stunned that it had happened, because he hit it and it was like, oh my God, you know. And like you said, it was a tremendous match. It was up to the standards of New Japan main events, and that is the biggest challenge now, I think, for Jay White. He's, depending how long he's going to hold the belt for, which we can debate in a second, I suppose, but he's got to maintain the standard of match quality of Tanahashi, of Okada, of Omega. And we spoke about it last year when Jay White had the big match at the Tokyo Dome against Tanahashi, and it was pretty bang average. He probably wasn't quite ready at that time. Now he's absolutely ready for this spot, because this was brilliant. And I think it banished those memories of that match between them being a bit average, because this was tremendous.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Jay White is the anti-strong style wrestler. He does everything against the grain of what strong style is supposed to be about. You know, you've gone from Okada, who was the embodiment of the modern New Japan style. You've gone from Kenny Omega, whose effort, the best bout machine, was always paramount. And now you've gone to Tanahashi, the living embodiment of strong style, to Jay White, who's anti-everything. You know, this is anti-Nowhere League wrestling. It's nihilistic wrestling. It's the anti-style. And it's just perfect for this particular storyline and perfect for this environment in New Japan at the minute. Everyone's been going crazy about the high-quality matches. Well, let's have a guy who's proud of the fact he puts minimal effort in.
Yeah.
And that's genius.
Yeah, the fact that he's intelligent and he's trying to think, you know, there was that aspect of, you know, he's not going to beat Tanahashi if he just goes toe-to-toe with him, you know, in kayfabe terms. He's got to be smarter, he's got to be cleverer, which he did the same thing against Okada. He outsmarted him and he won.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a nice, different feel to a guy at the top. And it's great to see how he has grown into that character over the course of a year. And it shows why, you know, we knew why New Japan had such faith in him, because he was highly rated from the time he went through the Young Lion system. He went through the dojo, which means he gets a lot of respect for doing that as a gaijin. But they obviously had big plans for him, and they stuck with it last year when I think a lot of other companies would have got cold feet and not stuck with it when he was struggling to get that character over. But it's paid off. And listening to him on Jericho's podcast, he's a really nice guy as well. And he's worked very hard to get where he is.
Definitely.
Yeah, he deserves it. And it's, yeah, like we say, this is the main thing which sets up where New Japan, what the landscape of the company is going forward, because this is a new guy on top. It's a different feel as a champion, and it'd be interesting now to see if they're planning a lengthy reign for him, or if they're gonna, it's gonna be a shorter thing. What do you think?
I don't know. I kind of think they need to establish him as kind of like ace material. You know, I think the obvious things to do is you go to, July at Dominion, and he drops it to Naito, and then Naito has a carefree G1 because he's got the main event, and he doesn't win the G1, and some Akeem Runakada versus Naito again. That's the obvious thing to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if they ran Jay White all the way to Wrestle Kingdom just to give him that rub and build him some momentum, because Kenny didn't get that really, and that's possibly the reason why they didn't get the kind of momentum in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom they wanted this year.
Yeah, it's a fair point. Yeah, it could go either way. I think Naito's the obvious big challenger for Jay White because he's not, you know, they've not really worked together, and you've got, they're kind of polar opposites in a way, but there's those similarities in the intelligence and in their attitudes, but it's kind of like those mind games that Jay White's doing, that Naito's the only guy who they won't work on.
Yeah.
So he's the only guy you can't really outsmart. So it's the obvious guy, like you say, Naito's the obvious guy to win the belt from him. It's when they do it, you know, we've been waiting for them to pull the trigger on Naito again as the IWGP champion, and they haven't done it yet. So the question is whether, like you say, Dominion maybe, or they might even carry that to Wrestle Kingdom and have that be Naito's big moment, and then they can roll into Naito and Okada again on the back of that. There's a few ways they could go with this, but I'm also with you. I want to see Jay White against Minoru Suzuki in the meantime, because that will be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, so there we are. The fourth leader of Bullet Club, Jay White, becomes the third to be IWGP Heavyweight Champion, something that Prince Devitt couldn't achieve. And
which, didn't he make a joke about this on Twitter even?
I can't remember what he said. I know he did say, he did tweet out, Jay White this week in reverence to his friend, because he was the one that scouted him for the New Japan Dojo.
He did, yeah. But yeah, it's quite funny though, yeah.
What was the joke? Well, can you tell the joke is?
The only one who couldn't do it.
But there you go. And that brings us to the end of our new...
One last thing. I just remembered before we wrap up. Assume Jay White's going to be the main event at MSG over Mania weekend.
I would assume so. So he needs a challenger, and it's got to be somebody good and who draws.
So that's... Yeah, interesting to see who they go for there, because I think the report said the original plan was Okada and Omega headlining MSG, which makes sense, because that's the big feud everyone knows about, and you're guaranteeing match quality. Obviously, the landscape's changed a little bit in the last few months, so that's not going to happen now, by all accounts. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm just interested who they put in there with Jay White, and if... You know, could he drop the belt at Madison Square Garden for the big story as well? Is an option.
I suppose so. I think they would want to put some establishment into him. I would say rematch with Tanahashi. So. I think I would say rematch with Tanahashi seems the obvious thing to do, because you want Tanahashi high up the card. I think Okada's not a bad choice, but you want to keep them as separate as all you can, because that's the big money feud. You might want to save that for Wrestle Kingdom. I'm saying Tanahashi or Suzuki.
Yeah, I think Tanahashi rematch might be the one. Plus, they've shown they can have a fantastic match together, and they will probably have an even better one the next time round. But yeah, just an interesting one. I just wanted to
throw that in before
we wrapped up.
Why not have a non-title match, Jay White versus Jay Lethal?
Ooh, interesting.
Because it's supposed to be a joint card. It's the biggest card both companies have ever done together. I say Ring of Honor champion versus IWGP Heavyweight Championship non-title. That's your main event. Jay White versus Jay Lethal. Because then you're putting the pressure on Jay Lethal to draw the money and the interest.
Yeah, but then like you say as well, you've got the thing, they're going to want to have Tanahashi and Okada high up the card, so it's how
tag team title match. Tag team match against the Briscoes. There you go.
Oh, God. Okada and Tanahashi tagging again. Don't tease me.
Against the Briscoes. There you go. That's There you go. You've got it because they've had that match before. Bruce Tanahashi tagged with Jay Lethal against Jay and Mark at Sam's Town, 2 years ago, and it was really good. I mean, I don't like the Briscoes because they're homophobic assholes, but actually, as a wrestling tag team, they are exceptionally good at what they do. And you know, Tanahashi versus Okada and Okada versus the Briscoes would be something to see.
Yes, it would. It's going to be interesting to see how that card comes together with, like we say, everything else that's going on and the changes that have happened with AEW coming in. It's going to be fascinating.
Right then, we will call it for today on our coverage of New Japan New Beginnings. I hope you enjoyed this show. I hope you enjoyed last week's show with Tony. I would like to say thank you to my guest, Mr. Alex Watt.
Yes, thanks for having me. We finally got it done. After many, many technical and travel issues. Let's enjoy the Jay White era, I guess.
You can find him at AlexWatt187 on Twitter. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star on Twitter. You can find the show, Troopany Show, on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook, The Troopany Show, and on Patreon, The Troopany Show, where you can keep us free forever. For everyone, I will no doubt get an MP3 in my email from Mr. Mike Freeland later in the week to give you his show. They'll be looking at, well, I've guessed it, really, it's the AEW press conference, isn't it? Because that's the biggest news coming out of this week's wrestling in North America, previewing things for WrestleMania, looking at that main event. Is it going to be Charlotte and Becky? I hope not. Anyway, take care, have a good week, and I'll see you next week. Bye!